Matthew's Gospel. We're looking at bodies in prayer. And God is setting things in our heart to do. And we're obedient children. We yield to His Spirit. We walk in His plan. Amen. Now I told you that never gauge God's will from what is happening in the world. Sometimes you think the will of God is what the media is saying. No. The will of God is what is written in His Word and consequently said by His Spirit. And take that again. The will of God is what is written in His Word and consequently the leading He gives us by His Spirit. And that must be your motivation. So in Matthew's Gospel 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, we have said over and over that this means that this writer here, Matthew, wants us to read the Old Testament. Because if you look at this, it takes the words literally from Genesis 5:1. Here he introduces Jesus as the son of Abraham, yet in the same synoptic, Matthew 22, and verse 42 to 45, he brings out the emphasis of Jesus being the Lord of David. He's both his son and his Lord. In verse 19 of Matthew, or 20 precisely, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Of course, 18 says, all authority in heaven has given to me, and that already shows you He is God. You don't have authority in heaven and earth. It's God who has authority in heaven and earth. And so this statement is speaking as Yahweh of the Old Testament and saying, lo, I'm with you always till the end of the age. Mark's Gospel 1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, the concept of beginning, showing you there is an undercurrent of the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, within the writings of what we now call the New Testament. Mark's Gospel 16:19. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up unto heaven. Again, he calls him the Lord, which is either kurios, that's kurios in the Greek, and borrows the word Adonai, or Adonai, and Yahweh, sat on the right hand of God. Right hand of God is the position, is one of the manifestations of God in the Old Testament. Verse 20, so they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord, again Yahweh, walking with them, italicized them, confirming the word with signs following. If Jesus is confirming something, that is God. Then it says, Amen. Then Luke's Gospel 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us. Verse 2, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first to write unto thee, Luke 1:3, most excellent, another most excellent Theophilus. And we're going to see that there was a very peculiar emphasis of Luke, both in the book of Acts and the book of Luke, on the prayer ministry of the church and the disciples. In fact, it's Luke that gives us in Luke 11, where the disciples ask Jesus, teach us to pray. Luke 11 verse 1, teach us to pray. As we're about to see also, he brings out the ministry of Jesus at the baptism of John, Luke 3:21. And in Luke 2, Simeon and obviously Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. So also Luke that gave us the account of Jesus saying to Peter, we're going to look at that. I'm just showing you why you will see the same emphasis in the book of Acts, the prayer emphasis. Luke 22:31. Simon, Satan, behold, Satan desires to sift you. I prayed for you. Also, all that goes on. So Luke is the A part of the book of Acts. In Luke 24, again, showing us the emphasis of the Old Testament, where he says in the resurrection, verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 44. These are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. 45, then he opened you the understanding, Luke 24, that they might understand. Suineni, read it together. So we are compelled by these authors to read the Old and the New Testament together. Of course, they didn't create those phrases. It came later, but no matter the creation of those phrases in the Old and New Testament, we are compelled to read this text together. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we have the word Logos, which is Greek. But as we have said, that is more of an Hebrew word, the word Dava, which is more of what you hear and what you can see. And therefore, it's not referring to logic here, it's rather referring to a person. The word became flesh doesn't mean a speech became flesh. It simply means that that which had been visible through the ages is now a human being. John 1:14. And in John 5:39, where Jesus says, the scriptures testify of me, he wasn't referring to a prediction, rather to the actions he took that were visible in the Old Testament. Moses wrote of me, John 5:46, is more of an emphasis of Jesus walking with Moses. And 47. So in John 20 and 22, where he says he breathed on, that is italicized there, where you have the word emphusal, the same Greek word applied in the Septuagint Greek for Septuagint Old Testament Greek language, of course, in Genesis 2 and 7. So in our study on burdens and prayer, that is concerning burdens and prayer, that's what we're talking about, burdens in prayer. And we said earlier now, that burdens actually take sensitivity. You need to be sensitive. It's not something you woke up. You don't just start groaning. You know, something has to inspire. Just like a woman in labor is not just making noise. Something is happening. That is why if the reaction is what you hear, you know, there's a contraction, there's a feeling, you know, and she's like that. And we're studying so far that in the redemptive plan of God, by saying to the woman, that I'll bring enmity, Genesis 3:15, between your seed and her seed, and the woman, a seed and her seed, you bruise your head, you bruise his heel. And we saw that in saying that in verse 16 through to 17, he brings in labor. And we're so far seeing that labor, the labor is a sign of God's action, redemptive action. So back to the things we said last week, I will come to that anyway. We looked at the birth pangs, yet again, which would arouse something that God is doing. So which means that if God is leading you to do something, I can tell you very easily that all of us under the sound of my voice, and I say it not just by faith, because I know, you have within the church, within the ministry, you have specific assignments that God will want you to do. Now, it takes sensitivity to know that God is speaking. It won't always appear in the skies. Sometimes it will happen in a conversation. But it depends on how sensitive you are. It could be in a workers' meeting. It could be in a prayer group meeting. It could be in a service like this. It could be doing worship. And, you know, that's why we thank God we don't have a music team that come to entertain. So that you can pick on the things being said by the Spirit. And that was good to also have very intelligent people that sing. One of the people that, you know, had led worship for me, because I grew up with friends, we used to all sing, except one of us was the black sheep, Bipol. His voice would actually attract demons. I used to tell him, more than cast. He still sings that way, you know. So I'm sure he's going to hear this song one day. He'll feel really bad. I don't care. So we used to all lead songs. Myself, TJ Pope. We call him Pope. We had Bishop. And then Yeah, we also all sing and apostle. Don't mind our titles. We used to all sing. So, and it was a good way to see the move of the Spirit of God. But there was a sister, lady, church I pastored for, friend, and she had this peculiar sensitivity. I picked it up also among you guys where, I just have something on my heart to sing, and she will sing it. I can tell you that she did almost 75% of the time. For one particular service, the whole service was taken over. And that's sensitivity. And it usually happens when people are giving to prayer. I said it to you during the Workers' Congress that, you see, some folks may not necessarily have your wholesome insight into God's word. But you see, when someone is praying, I've told you that, when someone is giving to prayer, look at me when I'm saying something. See, if you're a pastor, if you just want to know what God is doing, just pray. It's almost like a joker. You just set yourself praying. You will lay hold on it. Just start praying. You know, and you know people that are giving to prayer. And you don't have to be told that this fellow is giving to prayer. This person is sensitive. He knows what God is doing. So, in bodies in prayer is not, it's that sensitivity. Well, because we know that the birth pangs is God doing something new, which is why it's a birth, a new birth. We looked at Samuel last week, and we also indicated that sometimes it's heralded by difficult circumstances, just like redemption was heralded by chaos, right? So you either are going to complain, and that's why you won't find anyone God is using as a grumbler. You either are going to complain, or you are going to pray. You can't do both. You are either going to stand up and complain, or you are going to pray. It's one of the two things. You are either going to complain, or you are going to pray. So, if you are going to pray, you will be sensitive rather than complain. So, usually what happens is, that burden, rather than take it and be sensitive, some folks will turn it into complaining and grumbling, and you say, I just don't want to do ministry. I told someone this years ago. I knew he was called to do what he was doing, because I knew. It was obvious. So I began the fellowship. The first day, you know how you start ministry and you have put a lot of chairs. Brother Hagin delivered me later from it. I used to think I had a problem. We would have put chairs, they would have gone to the back. And then the day of the meeting, everybody that said they will come will not come. So there's just this, you'll be unhappy, you'll just be angry, you'll just become touchy. So when I read something about Hagin, he said, it's good to listen to those who are ahead. And he said, look, that it's better you put small chairs. He was saying to himself. He said, because he said, empty seats discourage a preacher. I said, thank you, Brother Hagin. I didn't think it was a problem that you just, you started the fellowship and somehow, maybe two people came, one person came again, then the other time he now said, imagine, he was now telling me, he said, imagine that I started this fellowship the first day, and he used to dress very well, so he had, I think he wore tie. I got to the place and nobody came at all. Said, I believe, says to me, I said, I believe that God wants me to be in the choir. Because he can sing. He said, you are the one that is called to do what you are doing. He now said, you don't give up. You just be doing it. This was in the 90s, maybe 97 or so. I said, no, it wasn't ever earlier than that. So I said, how would you reason like that? I said, it's not about giving up. You heard from God. So what about praying? He said, I prayed. So years later, and the thing about it is that you come and do it, you still come back to that thing you did not do. You just come back to it. So, when there was barrenness in Anna, God was about to break something through. When there was barrenness in Rebecca and Sarah, there will always be a negative reaction. Some of you think that the proof of the fact that God wants to do something to you is as soon as you just enter that campus, everybody is saying, we've been waiting for you. Come and teach, come and teach, come and teach, come and preach. We've even bought venue. Will you come and use it? They say, in fact, we're already born again. Just say you got us saved. You know? You think that's what's going to happen? So as soon as you see something like that, you start, you're wondering, and then you see, and then your pastor is saying, pray fast. Then somebody just calls you, a friend of yours, from Babylon. And he says, ah, what are you doing? He says, I'm on follow-up. What's follow-up? Sir, I want to check someone that's born. Ah. Say, see this Christian life that you are doing? And then you say, it's like the body just leaves. You know people that leave God's body off you? And he says, you see, this is not true Christianity. See, look, you know, the most important thing is that your fellowship with God. As soon as you are right with God, you see, you have a life to lead. He says, I knew I had to talk to somebody else. And he said, you just see that thing just leaves. And he say, as soon as he spoke to me, I was really at peace. Ah. Yeah, I was really at peace. It's the same way. After Sarah and Abraham said, look, child the child. Don't give them a word, child. Come on, Hagar. I know. And the Bible calls it the flesh. It was no big deal. And you know, the thing about that was that even when she now believed God, Ishmael mocked the child of promise. That's what's going to happen. You just get one advice. Don't worry. Don't do it like this. You know those, like David. He said, I'm going to take out Goliath. Then you have some sources. Take my garment. Or my, if the thing was working, why didn't you approach him? If it is this that I need, why didn't you approach him? You just want me to die inside it. It was working. It's not working. He can't, it's not going to work. I said, okay, this is not how God works. When somebody told me years ago, he said, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do this. I said, I don't like this kind of discussion. He said, what do you mean? I said, he looks like, in this area called Agbari. He said, no, you have to, I said, no, I'm not doing it. Let's go and pray now. Ah. This one said, no, I'm not doing it. Let's pray. When we pray, God will talk to us. Oh, you see, you don't have to hear a voice. I will hear it. So, you will see those circumstances. Barrenness. Difficult situation. Now start complaining. Look at what Anna did. We saw it last week. She cried her bitterness to the Lord. You know what you have done? You just have faced the husband. Only good morning. Is it morning? How are you frowning? Am I frowning? That's how I was born. Ask my mother. You know, she wasn't becoming a problem. Some of you, some of us not here. Some people, they have frustration in ministry. They put it upon people living with them. You say, what's happening? Nothing. Kingdom of God suffering violence. She went into the temple and she began to pour it to the Lord. Because he is the one that has something he wanted to do. So that means that the cries of Anna came from who? Came from who? They are the cries of God who wanted to do something. So he rolled that. So you would think it's you, it's not you. You are in the spirit. She just began to cry and weep. So I said, is this Christianity? What kind of Christianity is this? And weep. Is it kind of, she poured her heart to the Lord. Poured everything to him. Imagine tonight, tomorrow, all the burdens you have for your nation, all the burdens you have for your family, you pour those burdens out. Someone told me this. That was in the 90s. Said the whole family were Muslims. Said, decided that throughout this year, I'm just going to pray for them every day. Every day. And started to cry. And weep. Not, you know there's a crying when you are trying to deceive. No. because his thing really was there. And I said, you know what? You think you are the one that really wants them saved. You didn't die for their sins now. It's Jesus that rolled that thing into your heart. He's the one prompting you to be saved. When I was going to have my father confess the lordship of Jesus, it was the strangest way. You know, I had been trying to explain to him, we had fought and we had overcome our fights. Because he told me, he said, his father was a prophet. Now what do I know? That they gave back to him in Christianity. He even told me, he said, when I was in Ife, I used to go for fellowship. Yeah. Said, but just, I wasn't doing all this born again thing. But the fellowship were preaching born again. But he didn't do the born again thing. You know, so, in fact, the funny part was that the fellowship used to now call him to come and do tutorials for them. So I think he became a pastor. Because that's what I just saw. So it was a strange way. I don't want to mess up the preacher. That's how my father, I just saw him listening to the man. I said, eh? And then I said, he closed his eyes, raised his hand. Eh? This is... So I said, okay, if this is the man that can do the job, so me. God should have given me that glory because, this man showed me perfect. So I can't claim it though. And I can't even tell him I was the one praying. It won't make sense. Say, So I just got him the man's book and gave him the man. I had to give him the man. Say, you know, and say, yeah, you know. So he now told me, he said, I like, okay, somebody else said, but he also said, I like this old preacher. He said, when people are this old, they don't like it to make mistakes again. Ministry. He said, this one cannot do those things those young preachers do. You'll be thinking of heaven. You know, that's what my mother told me. So I said, okay, it was thinking he was talking about. So I said, okay, just be taking care. He said, hey, I like, he's a mature man. You see, arrogance came with his salvation. Because, that's arrogance now. But the point is, and that's what's going to happen to many of us. You will wish that, you know, that family member being in the community church, and he will just go to another church. You will not be feeling bad. What did he really want? Salvation or a member of yourself? I keep saying, take all the glory, Lord. With me. So you find that thing you have. You know, I know last week, and I can almost tell you they are here, as we kept praying, the faces of some people that have left the faith, that have left the ministry came to you. Anyone like that last week? Raise your hand. That have left the faith, that abandoned the ministry just came. And you see something. The intensity of the burden on your heart is going to increase. It's going to increase. There was one guy like that too. I named him Archbishop. In the middle 90s. The guy just went gaga. And he went really bad. Imagine your disciple. People are now saying, is it not that person? People will be mocking you. Is it not that person? You know, we used to go around and come upon people together. Zero. That's how we just entered the world 360 degrees. The things, So we started to pray. The more I was praying, the more it was getting worse. I thought, maybe I should stop. I'm joking. So, you know, but the point was, every time I thought about him, I felt there was just this pain. And that pain is from God. Because that's how he feels. So he rolls it to you. He's sharing it with you. But the moment you are past feeling, you don't have a feeling about it, then you have disconnected from God's Spirit. We must know how to receive the spirit of joy and also the spirit of supplication. So I learned to receive the spirit of supplication. We're going to have some Holy Ghost meetings this, you know, October. We're going to have Holy Ghost meetings too. Some of the Holy Ghost meetings will not just have joy. We're going to have cries. We're going to have a whole lot of deep-seated supplication. Are you here? We must know how to flow with streams of the Spirit. Streams of the Spirit. I think it was camp meeting that God emphasizes for us as camp meeting. That we should not be stereotyped. Don't be stereotyped. You know, and learn to be sensitive to bodies. So you can take them. So you have those instances that you are just praying. And there are some people God will tell you, I learned this a bit from Brother Tokes, but I now saw it much more as I grew, you know, as a Christian. That there are sometimes you want to say something to someone. And as you get older, you will notice that God will have you be more quiet on issues. Rather than talk, He wants you to pray. Because many times we take things from the perspective of the flesh. I remember one elder brother in the faith, like that, said this to me. It was about someone else that we had known who had, you know, fallen off like that. So he now called me. He now said something to me because he had been born again. I mean, he had begun ministry. He's been speaking in tongues before all of us were conceived. So he was now saying to me, he said, there's a mistake sometimes we make. He said that we think that because people are close to us, that the only thing we need to do is to talk to them. There is a mistake we make. You know, we can do that. Can do that for your wife, in law, your husband, your children. I'll just talk. Come! You think that everything is in what you say. Even as a pastor, don't make that error. Yes, you're going to speak. He said, when did you, and this is how I asked, I was on the phone. He said, when did you pray the Pauline prayers for him? Honestly, I'd never. Say you didn't. Say why not set a tone of prayer before you start talking? You know, oftentimes when you now want to talk, you say the right thing. And I've seen this in my life very well, that if you now pray, you will not have reasons to even talk about it. It will just ease itself. And I can see that happening to many of your disciples. You just pray. I'm not saying, of course, you should teach and instruct. We have instructions from God to teach and rebuke. But be led. Something Brother Hagin taught about the faith message that many people didn't pay attention to. He said there are certain times. This is how he said it. There are certain times that, say, yes, I teach Mark 11, 23 and 24. Believe and receive, you shall have. He said, but there are times that you will follow your heart to know whether it is God's will. That there are times you just, should I talk about this now? And I'll pray. So over the time, I've learned to do this. You know, that when people say, what do you want to say? I say, let's talk about it later. I know everybody has heard me say that. Till tomorrow. Keep it to tomorrow. And why I say that all the time, I just believe that I'm sure I'm going to pray that day or the day after. I'm sure by the time I'm talking to you, I would, and of course I'm not perfect, I'm still, you know, getting better. But I'm sure that by the time I'm going to talk to you, I will more likely say something in line with what God wants me to say. So, be swift to speak, okay? Let's pray about it. And learn to also pray for family, spouse, children. Don't think everything is about talking. Just pray. God desires, now, what betide you and I to want for people what God doesn't want for them? You know, you can think that what somebody wants is a job. And that's not what God is saying. This person needs to be married. That's not what God is saying. This person needs to buy a house. That's not what God, and you'll be thinking that that's what you should do. But imagine aligning yourself with God's will, and it makes you pray what is on his heart. So, burdens will come in that format. So going back to what we're saying about labor pangs, you will find yourself, just like the Greek words we are saying, you find yourself struggling. You are struggling with something. And I'm saying this to you, for all of you here, cell leaders, fellowship coordinators, pastors, and you are discipling people. You are going to, as we proceed forward to the end of this year, you are going to enter into some struggles. Some battles that it is God that laid it on you. from the spirit within. And you are able to, you just be dealing with things in prayer. Sometimes you are praying just like, there's a weight on your chest. I mean, on your, shoulder. It's just a weight, and you are literally feeling it. You know, I remember what Tuji told me in 93, a letter he wrote to me, he said, there are times that the things of the spirit will be so apparent to you that even the body will react to it. That you will know that something is happening, just like Jesus. He got to the point that he's praying and his blood vessels reacted. And that will happen. Literally. To you. So, looking at what we saw last week, let me get back to the notes of today. We know we closed last week by how bodies come, right? Sensitivity. How they come. You know, one of the things I will know, for example, when you find people that God has called to do things in Nigeria, they will love the country. God will make you, if it is Ghana, if it is Liberia, if it is Guinea, he will make you love the country. Same way the people he has sent you to, he will make you love them. And the moment you know where God has called you, you disconnect from negative things. People are going to say about it, just disconnect. From negative things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You disconnect. Straight away. So, look at Genesis 1. There's something there. Verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light. Now, God saw the light. That's a bit interesting. Like, oh, saw, oh. So he's coming to knowledge. No. Look at Genesis 3. When God said, called unto Adam, verse 9, where are you? Where are you? Now, the word saw there It's if you go to Genesis 22, where it says he sees, right? It's rather talking about God's providence, right? God's providence, what God provided, what God gave, and it was good. The Lord sees, it was good. Now Genesis 3:8. Where are you? Right? 3:9 called out, where are you? God walking in that is his manifestation. That where are you is not because he is ignorant of it. It's a rhetoric. It's rather to describe his state. So God saw is more of God describing to us what he has done. Is that clear? In Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great. No, he's describing it. Is that clear? Are you following this? He's describing the wickedness of man. So God saw, right, is more of what we should see. Now one more. Genesis 11. Verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city. Now how you know is that he is not the one who has to see. It's verse 6. And the Lord said, behold. That means he's talking to somebody else. So God's actions are for us to know. His actions are meant for us to know. So God coming down there is not that God came down. God took his creatures to see. To see. Now, so God will grant you and I knowledge to to see what he says and what he intends. What he says and what he intends. So I'm going to take us to Genesis 18. Verse 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? That was a Sodom and Gomorrah issue. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Saying that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children, his household after him, shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, again 21, I will go down and see what they have done. It's not God saying things. He has already described it in 20. Altogether, according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from hence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood there, yet before the Lord. So all this is God showing to us, you know, by revelation, of course, what we didn't know. And Abraham drew near and he said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? So it means that the person who was being informed was who? Abraham. So there are conversations that will be going on in the spirit, and he's giving you details. Now the thing is, and if you observe a lot in scripture, and I'm saying this to all of us, because we are men of God. People that God will walk with in very important things are very discreet people. Shall I hide this thing which I do? Discreet people. If anything of your life you should work on, is if you are a talkative. You have to work on it. Because the things he wants you to pray, you put it into gist. He says, and I didn't want to tell you. I should not have told you. I said, I don't even know where to talk. You be in the office, and you think, and you know, because you have to know that because you are in the office 8 hours a day or 9 hours a day, you will now be feeling at home. You just be opening your mouth, bro. I shared something on Facebook by Pastor Todoma Bunori, the pastor of Emma Chapel. Maybe you have seen it on my Facebook, where there are these guys, and they said, you don't go to church. How did you know about that church? He said, their members always talk to us. Well, I checked that on my Facebook. Some of us just talk here in the office. One of the things I was taught about a true intercessor is that they are very quiet. I mean, you know what intercession is. I'm just using that phrase which was back then. Very quiet. They're not giving to you, just talking. So you should be that sensitive. There are things he wants to show you, and there are things he's showing you. So when you see things, sometimes you see things differently. You just see it differently. And they say, this is what we are saying. He says, no, I see this differently. And that is what you can see by the Holy Ghost. I'm seeing this differently. I'm seeing something else. I'm seeing it differently. You have to, because by the power of the Spirit of God, you see things differently. You just see differently. And that shows you that you are taking an initiative from God in prayer. So bodies in prayer is not just the actions that we take. It's more of sharing what is in God's heart. About Nigeria, Africa, Europe, America, or whatever location where he gives you something to do. Acts 17. As Paul in verse 18. No, sorry, not 18. In verse 16. While Paul waited for them at Athens, that means he was staying there. You know, he would wake up one morning, go out this and do that. Then his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given idolatry. Look at where the reaction came from. His spirit was provoked when he saw. He stayed in a place and his spirit was just provoked when he saw it. So how do you see things? So what he was provoked with is what we have been reading earlier, and God saw the wickedness. And when he saw it, he now found a man called Noah. He saw. It's not God that is seeing something. He's showing you something. Now, you know, sometimes your spiritual system can be so dull. If you have found yourself just like the world. I was sharing this with a fellow pastor 2 days ago. Was it today? Was it this morning or yesterday? He said a particular nation in the world, like the United States of America, that a third of their pastors, I said it in the service today, a third of their pastors in America, they did a poll, that they no longer believe that it's his faith in Jesus that is salvation. That some people, they don't even believe Jesus exists, but as long as they're doing charity works and they are nice and those kind of things, that they have granted citizenship in God's kingdom. Do you know how they came about that? It's a little here, a little there. Gradually, you are seeing what your colleague at work is saying. You are reasoning with what, you are now, you watch some movie here and there, and the way they are talking, you say, this guy is a good guy. You now compare him with somebody in your church. Even this guy that has the spirit, I can't even see the spirit. It appears the spirit is in this guy, even though he's not born again. And you don't start to reason like that. Now when that happens, your sensitivity is gone. God can't send you to people like that again. Because you are compromised the way you see things. There's no... Someone said, what Nigeria needs now? We're saying it. Says industrialization. That we need to have more industries. That's what it is. And it's a Christian. And I felt... Is this small Lagos business school that you went to now? That there's problem. He said, we know. I said, okay, China is arguably the most industrialized nation in the world now. I said, yes. Do they need the gospel? He said, I guess so. You guess so. Go and ask the Christians there whether they are guessing. Say yes. So if they are industrialized and they need the gospel, and you say we don't need the gospel, we need industrialization. Is your health not with you? Because you have, you know, you just see people just talk anyhow. That what Nigeria really needs. Someone say that what is going to pray for now is the right leadership in this country. I said that's what we need. Yeah, yes. So you now start doing VG. Over what? PVC. You have not missed it. You have left it. You will now be doing prayer meeting. Lord, give us a new president. How? And when the guy gets there, you say, Lord, what kind of president is this? I said, he says, pray the Lord of the harvest. That they will send for presidents. Laborers. I'm sorry, if you go to the minds of those in Israel, they are wishing that let Herod fall down and die. Let Herod die. Herodias, let them die. Oh Lord, oh Lord. That's how those ones live long. Long enough to kill Jesus. That pilot, when he's coming, let his chariot have accident. Jesus didn't join those prayers. Pray the Lord. He said the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. He said these people are, he didn't say they are like citizens needing a president. Sheep without a shepherd. That was what he said. Look at it. Matthew 9. You must have, you must know what God is saying, you know. Yeah, I can sit down with you. We can discuss current affairs. I've been discussing current affairs since I was a child. So don't get carried away. My nickname in secondary school was Pressman. Because the whole boarding house would come to me to come and hear news. And I'll sit down. In 1926. He would say, hey, Pressy! So, that's how I still am, oh. Do you get the thing? You know? But woe betide me. I'm now in my room. And I'm supposed to pray, oh Lord, oh Lord. Who is the next king of England? Who did we beat? Who is crying? What's the old? Look at Matthew 9:36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. You can just say, the economic situation of Jerusalem is really bad. What are we going to do about it? I mean, this is really bad. Then you turn your sermons to to speaking the truth to power. Say, we're going to speak the truth to power. We're going to do this one. And it says, because they fainted and were scattered abroad. You know, the phrase here is not that they were doing like this. We're fainting. No, that's not what he's saying. He's referring to a directionless life. That's what he's saying. He said they were like sheep without shepherd. If you go to... Listen. You know the shepherd is supposed to be the king. And he wasn't asking that the king be removed. Because the king was there. Because the shepherd is meant to be the king. I've taught you that kings of the Old Testament are pastors. Can you remember that? So when he says sheep without shepherd, that's Numbers 27 and 1 Kings 22. Which refers to kings. He said, now pray the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is precious, laborers are few. He was not dealing with the political system at all. Pray the Lord of the harvest, I may send for laborers into his harvest. Then he chose 12 and sent them out. Those are the burdens that you start seeing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the burdens you will start seeing. You'll be sensing it. You'll be sensing the harvest. You see, when people are talking about something else, because we are in the spirit, you say, that's not what I'm seeing. This is what I'm seeing. And it's not about, when a man is of the spirit. When I was in school, one day like that, some people were just talking, and they were planning programs. I just sat back. And I told them, it was one evening, there was no power that day. I began to tell them what else was going to happen. Some people just went and said, this guy is a prophet of doom. I said, don't mind him. See, that's what I saw. So we have to set up. So I went back to my own folks. I said, guys, we have to pray about this. I gave them three events that happened successfully. They now said, it's really a prophet of doom. The king came to pass. I told my folks, I said, we're going to pray. I said, but what is going to happen is this. When the third event happens, right? I said, it's going to be a sign of so and so. So however, the church on this campus will get it wrong. We have to redirect them. And they did. So what we're going to do, we're just going to pray. Because if you keep preaching about it, they'll think that you are just criticizing them. There are times you don't say anything. You just pray. Whether you and I like it or not, we have a lot of loud Christians on social media that are very carnal. They are very loud. Before you know it, they have spoken. Before anything happens in one church, they have said something. Before you know it, they have said everything, and you are looking at this. And people will be following them. They will just gain a lot of traction. People are, what they are saying, they're just going to be trending. You have to learn to be led by the Spirit. You have to learn it. To be led by the Spirit of God. So he saw it. What he saw was different. Say, my sight are his sight. That's what you have to see. He didn't complain. He said, some people just sit down, criticize the church. criticize. They'll just criticize the body of Christ. In fact, I remember something was said one day. Was not in our ministry then, not ours. I belong to. He said it in Yoruba, but he said it in English. He said, when that guy was done with everybody in the body of Christ, he just left Jesus alone because he respected Jesus. Almost everything is just bad. Is this the church? Yeah. Everybody is wrong. Everybody has missed it. Everybody is not it. It's not working. It's not the revival is not going to happen. Only one person remains here. It's out of respect. that, you know, Lord, you know, it won't be good to include you, but you too, check. You too, check. You know, you have to be careful of these things. Some people are just very critical. They be in the church, and they are always just complaining. They are just complaining. Remember one guy, Brother Femi? I just told him. He said, we were both in the youth ministry together. I said, look, can we just be praying in your house? That's when he said he will not be around. And he used to play keyboard. Not you. I remember. He said, sorry. Hi, was it keyboard? Or guitar, one of the two. Was it drums? Yeah, I think it's drums. Who is the drum? I think it's drums. I said, look. They said, no, just, I said, no. I'm not going to be around like that. The next meeting he came for one, he said, he's an apostle. I said, of where? Guys have been guys. So, you must be criticizing. Rather than pray for the people under your care. You are just complaining. You will never hear the word. You will never know the word. All the labor I made over you. Can I say I'm sorry? Don't be sorry! Both of you are fainted. Both of you are, you take those people and cry in prayer. You cry. That thing that is hurting you is of God. Don't pervert it. Is that clear? It's of God. Of course, not because the biggest giver doesn't come again. That one is not of God, though. You see? You guys say, I've seen church. Who? See that, brother? Ha! You feel like, you have seen church! Ha! Why? Why do you know, Zechariah 12:10. Say the days ahead. I receive the spirit of grace and supplication to stand in my office in the body of Christ. Zechariah 12:10. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the house of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. I will pour. And when it comes to outpourings, what we do is to take it. In chapter 10 verse 1 it says, ask ye the Lord. Look at Zechariah 10:1. In the time of the latter rain. You know what that is, right? Ask ye the Lord. Now, it is the time of it, and he's saying you have to ask. Say, I know the times that we are in. You know the times. I've told you, the body of Christ is not in election season. Did you hear me? As a citizen, you are in election season because we are in heaven and earth. Alright? But the body of Christ is not in an election season. I'm not saying we are disconnected from the world. We are not. We mustn't be disconnected from what's happening around us. Alright? We must do our roles, take our duties as citizens, you know, responsibly, yes. However, we must know what God is doing in the spirit. What's going on? What's on his heart? For us, as the body of Christ, today, ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Ask the Lord. So, when you know what God wants to do, I told you that the first thing is prayer. Anything. Write this down. Some of you, do you know why some prophecies have never worked? You just be gathering prophecies and write them in notes. He said, oh glory! Yeah, woo. Yes! And he said forth, and he goes forth. And you write it down. And you put it in, and you're expecting it to come to pass. No. That prophecy is for you to start to pray. I said it to you, I said it over and over. We had these great revelations of God's Spirit about our ministry 24 years ago. People were now excited. They said I was not excited. I said, no, I'm not. And how many years was I in ministry? And I'm grateful to God because of the background of joining or being part of intercession department. So I was never someone really giving such kind of overboarding exercise. I said, no, that this is not, when God gives you responsibility, what are you excited about? Of course, be excited because you are privileged to serve, but it's work. So we have to pray. I remember those days, you know, before we got, you know, those wonderful revelations of God's Spirit. The way we used to pray then, it was serious. It was really, really serious. You will literally feel the, you see, if you enter those meetings and you don't have bodies, then you are going to hell. Now you're not a Christian. I'm not joking. Because even if you're not speaking in tongues, you'll join us. Because you will see it. You will literally catch it. I mean, prayer meetings that don't have an ending. We live differently. So it was so clear. But that was not even what he wanted us to do. It was just how we're going to know it. So by the time we started seeing things, people just said, "Woo, God!" And I said, "Why was I excited?" I said, "No, because this is not a call for joy. Even though we are rejoicing, it's a call for action." As Pastor Lau was sitting, she'll know exactly what I'm saying. One day I was seeing the grace and dimension of the anointing. September 1998. And I said to them, I said, certain things that we are now doing today was in one uncompleted building, I said it. And we began to pray. We prayed that day almost 11 p.m. And we prayed. So by the next day, we were just excited. I said, there's no excitement here. Anything God wants to do, right? He will tell you so that you will start praying. He's not telling you that he's not telling the world. And we have to be careful. These days, you know, any little thing, I was talking to one pastor, I said, always know that there is not everything you put in the media. Last Workers' Congress, and I was going to do meetings like that. I said, we're not going to record it. If you miss it, you've missed it. That's it. They're not going to have that. If you doze off, you've dozed off. If you were not there, you were not there. There's some things you're not, I'm not talking to everybody. I'm talking to you. So I'm talking to you. So God is telling you something and he says, you know, I want you to do this and do this. And then he goes on social media and posts it out. Why? He gave you that information for a purpose. Have you asked him? Go and pray about it. So when God wants to do something in the earth, he sets you up by praying. One time, one of the things that, you know, God made me be endeared to Dr. Damina. One day we were talking. So he said, Pastor Chris, this is what I sense. I said, okay. So as he was talking, he now dropped what I can call an old timer's thinking. He said, what I've done is that knowing what God wants to do. This was in 2016. He said, I'm going to start a prayer chain. We'll pray every day of the year to birth it. I said, this is an old Christian. He knows it. If it requires that you should pray just a few days, forget it, it's not something big. If it's big, the intensity will require time. I'm telling you something here, that in the next couple of months, God is going to roll bodies of 10, 20 years into our hearts. We are going to be praying for years on the same things. And there are things that we are going to pray about that we will not see. Others will see them. It's on 50, 60, 70 years. But there are things that others are praying that we are going to see. There are things that we are praying for that we are going to see. But either way, we should get into God's will. Are you following what I'm saying here? Ask the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Jeremiah 33:3, it says, ask of me and I will show you great and mighty things. I don't know about you. Are there things you want God to show you? Yes, sir. Then ask. Are there things? Some of us know how to stress our spouses, how to stress our parents, our friends to get something. We can do it for 6 years. What? Not take it, sir. When it comes to prayer, I just want to say, glory, glory, after 2 minutes. Because, you know, God is not a man. Then what is he? Father Christmas. Oh God, I have it now. Woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. No! I'm serious about this. Until I see it, I won't stop praying. Then you are serious about it. Until I see it, I won't stop praying. Ask the Lord rain in the time of latter rain until I see what Daniel did. Daniel knew the time had come. He saw it in the word. Then he set to fast and pray. I put it there somewhere last week. I'm going to say it again. Now, one of the first things we will do, every time God wants to do something new, either in your nation, either in your church, in your fellowship, He changes your mindset. Sometimes it's not because you have done something evil. Sometimes you have done something wrong. Yes. But there are times He just wants you to broaden how you are thinking. So you will find repentance. It will change the way you think. I'm saying to you that for those of us who are into leadership here, He will change the way you see your flock. Let me ask you a question. If you knew that your cell was a Bible school, how would you prepare for it? If you knew the people you are talking to are going to be sent to Australia, some are going to be sent to Korea, some are going to be sent to Guatemala. If you knew that is exactly the people in your congregation. If you knew that there are people within your congregation that are going to plant 10 churches in next 5 years, 6 years, how would you prepare for the meeting? If you knew the people seated, if you were told that those who are going to attend your next fellowship meeting are going to be Bible scholars, how would you prepare? That those coming to your fellowship meeting, there are people that you know God has sent to you, etc., etc., He wants you to prepare them for a harvest somewhere. How would you prepare? So that's why I said, ask the Lord rain down of latter rain, ask and show you great and mighty things that you did not know. Great and mighty things you didn't know about those you passed on. Great and mighty things you know about your country. Great and mighty things you know about the campus, about the area of your ministry. Great and mighty things you didn't know about yourself. He will show you. Because we are going to pray in that direction tonight. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Ask the Lord. He will show you. So He will change the way we think, the way we see things. When God wants to do something, He sets us praying. How in the city of Jerusalem will be power from on high? Luke 24:49. Acts 1:8. Shall see power of the Holy Ghost come upon you. You know, imagine having a word from God. You heard God say to you that your church, and He says to you that, oh, the church is no good. And the one in Oba, that this is what He wants you to do. And say, oh, thank you, Lord. And the very day you went to subscribe for Netflix, is something wrong with you? The very next day you start to do something like you are disconnected from it. You just think that since He has said it, if He will say it, He will do it. You got the track record of keeping your word. Does that mean He said, oh, no problem. You hear something like that. You did not first of all stop eating. I just said, thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Woo, hallelujah. As when they heard, you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost comes upon you. They knew the next thing was supplication. Let me say something to you. If they did not pray, nobody would have been filled with the Holy Ghost. If they did not pray, they just said, okay guys, it's the day of Pentecost, right? Alright, I'll send you an SMS. So we just show up in the Sunday morning service. So everybody just goes, unfortunately some people went to go and watch a Chelsea game. You know, there's nowhere, if you want to miss God, that's the easiest way. And someone, everybody just goes there, so we meet though. So when they now get to the temple on the day of Pentecost, nothing will not happen. They now say, lead us in the song. I said, Jesus Christ, that's he left. Say, I am a God who never can. Somebody just make you laugh. Somebody just preach. And they say, wow, what a great service. Ha! Even the angels of God, who are just by standard, say, I've seen stupid people. These ones are different. You will not know that you substituted brass for gold. But you will have had a great service. But you missed it. Anything God tells you, you pray. Anything. Anything you want God's hand in. Your marriage? Are you here? A relationship? You must pray. Anything you want God's hand in. More so, anything God's hand is upon. Why do you think, brothers and sisters, that he appeared to Saul of Tarsus? He appeared to him. What was Saul doing for 3 days? He was praying. It's the first thing you must do. It's not negotiable, sir. It's the first thing you must do. Some of us will just be planning. I told you, I used to plan. I will write big plans, ministry plans. Had this diary like that. It was a daughter that thing. I will never forget. And he didn't take the money. And God said to me, he said, I wanted you to bury that idol for the rest of your life. I just sat down, I was writing good things. I just remember, this ministry, that's how they are doing their own. I'll write it down. That ministry, I'll say, yeah. So don't you? Hey, no, please. Start praying. What was Jesus doing? You know when he was born? Pay attention. There were two people. By the time he was taken to the temple to be circumcised, Simeon was in the temple making supplication. Luke 2. Anna the prophetess. So there were people praying. Even at the incarnation story, when he entered to be baptized in Jordan, Luke 3:21, he was praying. He prayed for Peter, Luke 22, that Satan desired to sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you. Imagine having to know that about those working with you. Luke 22:31-32. Show me great and mighty things that I did not know. Again, when he's going to the cross, he's praying. When he wants to do something new, the come indwelling of the spirit. That point of the spirit, he says them to pray. Ask again. When the new converts got saved, Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in what? Prayer. Acts 3:1. Peter and John went to temple in the hour of prayer. Acts 4, when they persecuted them, 22:23, they said their voice in one accord in prayer. It is too consistent to miss. Acts 6, will not leave the word of God and serve table, verse 2, will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You can't miss it. Acts 9, Saul of Tarsus, as he was encountered by the Lord, he went to pray. Acts 10, Peter, he went up onto the mountaintop, top of the house to what? To pray. How do you miss it? How? Acts 12. When they took Peter in, the whole church lifted their voices in supplication. Acts 12:5. Acts 13. As they went to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, praise the Lord for the work I've called them. When they had prayed, how do you miss that? Filled with prayer. All Paul's letters, I cease not to pray for you. Pray for me. All Bible texts are filled with prayer. How do you miss it? You know God is doing something new in your church. In your ministry. Watch this. I close from here. Hear this. If it's of God, it requires prayer. Your marriage, your marital life, your home, your relationships, your career, they are all interwoven. I've told you to your ministry. That you'll stay and stand in God's will in your ministry. We're approaching the season. We've announced it already. And I'm not expecting you to see it, write it on anywhere. I have not changed you like that. And God has helped you. You are not stupid. We are going to raise our voices in prayer. We are going to pray before the time. And we are going to pray at the time. and we're going to pray after the time. Do you understand it? You sense it? To strengthen the local churches. That means I will be strengthened. I will be strengthened. By the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in these days that he's going to excavate prophecies you have forgotten. You see things. Burdens. To expect this day, this night, tomorrow, to have strange feelings on your heart, strange perceptions, strange sights, overwhelming emotions. Just find yourself, you are just pitying someone. You are just loving someone. You are just provoked about something. Just find yourself, you are just sad. Just find yourself, you are expectant. Oh, I like that word. You are expectant. You are expectant that God is going to do something. In your church, in your fellowship, in your nation. Expectant. Are you expectant? Something is happening. So just like the woman who is pregnant, you are carrying something. You are carrying something. Something has been, for some of us, something has been in your spirit for a while. You know, because we can have birth, we can also have stillbirth when you have refused to handle it properly. But it won't happen in Jesus' name. So you are carrying something. Something that you have to struggle with it. You have to make it happen in prayer. Anything that God is doing in your life, you will have to pray about it. Let me say this. Don't ever use comfort as an excuse not to pray. Comfort is the more reason why you should pray. As we close and pray tonight, watch complacency in your life. At any time, when you feel satisfied, there's a problem. There's a longing on God's heart that will always be transferred to you, that even at your highest fulfillment, you will still feel wanting. You still sense a sense of wanting. You still know there's more. Even at the highest fulfillment. Oh, you said you were going to do something. It came to pass. There were testimonies and miracles. You know, the church is growing. And you see the power of God move. And you know, and this is happening. Any sense of fulfillment of that, in that order. I'm fine. Complacency is not God's spirit. So God has shaken us off that in Jesus' name. And we're walking in His plan. So just a few minutes, we are going to pray. Jeremiah 33:3. Great and mighty things that I did not know. About the church and pastor, about the people that I relate with, about the nation I'm in, about the people that I am sent to. Great and mighty things. Come on, stand up, let's pray. Great and mighty things.